Right, who likes a good story? If you like a good story, we've got a great story for you this morning. Now, I can tell stories really well if you're nice and close to me. If you'd like to come close and sit down here, that'd be really helpful. You can take part in my story as well. I've got bits and pieces I want to give you and things to do, so it'd be great if you came and sat down on the mat. What about riding a bicycle? Who thought riding a bike was too hard to do, and then you had a go, and it was actually all right? We thought jumping off high things. Ollie said he didn't want to jump off a diving board, but then when he did it, it was quite easy. How hard is it to become a Christian? There's a question for you. Some people think it's really hard. There must be lots of things you have to do. You've got to be good enough. Some people think you can only be a Christian if your mum and dad is a Christian. That's all you need. Well, the amazing thing we find out in our Bible story this morning is that it's so easy to become a Christian, some people don't even try because they don't want to even try. They think it can't be that easy, it must be really hard, so they never become Christians. But it is actually really, really easy. It's like me saying, anyone who asks me for a sweet after church can have one. Now, lots of people will forget, and lots of people will think, no, he won't, and so they won't ever ask me. But I wonder if you might. Can you think of something? Well, we've had a few goes at that. It was like me once when I once smashed some glass in the next door neighbour's garden. I threw a ball over it, smashed glass, and I was so embarrassed. And I didn't want to go round and say sorry, so I hid. And I hid and I hid and I hid. And my friend said, you should go round and say sorry, but I didn't want to because I thought it would be too hard. But then when my dad got home, he said, you really should. And he helped me to go round. And then when I did say sorry, he was really kind and he said, that's all right. And it was actually really easy to say sorry in the end after all. Well, becoming a Christian might sound hard, but actually it's really easy. All you've got to do is do it, and we're going to find out how. I want to introduce an Israelite family to you who are traveling in the desert on their way from Egypt all the way to the sea next to the Mediterranean. Okay? There's the father Isaac, and there's the mother Ruth, and there's the eldest son Jacob. Everybody calls him Jake. He's just gone to big school. There's Benjamin, who's been at junior school for a year, and he loves camels and trains, camel trains. Somebody's got camel trains. Stand up, show everybody your train. They're not quite camels. I couldn't find any, but there's a train. Okay, sit down. Somebody loves playing with trains. And last but not least, there's young sister Leah, who's only four and a bit, and she's a bit brighter than her older brothers, which makes them really annoyed. And she's really good at climbing, and she's learnt how to climb up the side of the tent and get onto the roof and slide down the top so it's a slide, which gives her mum the heebie-jeebies. That's Leah. So you've got Jacob and Ben and Leah in the story. They're part of a huge group of Israelites who were camping. Who's been to a campsite? Who's been to a campsite with 2 million people on it? No, you haven't, Ben. 2 million's really, really, really big. This one was huge. It was so big you could hardly see the edge of it. There were so many people camping together. And they've been camping for 38 years. Let me see if I can find my... I put that up right at the start, and you're going to see why in a minute. They'd been camping for 38 years. Father Isaac used to tell the story of when he was a boy, he went from Egypt, where he was a slave, and was rescued by God through the Red Sea, after the plagues, up to Mount Sinai, and he was provided for by God in the desert. Now, they got given, when he was hungry, what do you need if you're going to live? What do you need if you really need to survive? What do you need, William? Food and water. Look what God gave them. Frosties. It was like Frosties. That's the best I can get. Manna in the desert was like little flakes of really sweet things that just landed on the ground when they were hungry. In fact, it landed every day for 38 years. God gave them Frosties. And when they were thirsty, really thirsty, and there was no rivers, God said to Moses, all you need to do is tap the rock and water will gush out. Oh no. Kentucky Fried Chicken. He said, you're hungry, I can give you chickens. Actually, it's quail. And they landed. They just flew into the camp and landed in the camp, and they had to go and pick them up and a little bit of cooking, and they'd have got Kentucky Fried Chicken and Frosties for 38 years. Isn't that amazing? Pretty good. And when they were thirsty, they tapped the rock and water just gushed out of the rock, so they didn't have to be thirsty anymore. God had looked after them really, really well. But they weren't happy. It wasn't enough. The Israelites began to grumble. In fact, in the Reuben family, it was Ben who complained first. He said, "Yuck, pff, ugh, this is really bad food, man." And his mum said, "That's rude. Go to your room." So he had to stomp off to his room, where they, within minutes they could hear him playing with his Lego. Go play with your Lego. All they could hear was this thumping around upstairs. And that was Ben. He was really angry. Okay, you can go and sit back down there. And then his mum was really angry with Ben, but actually she didn't think much of the food either. So when they were having coffee after children had gone to bed, she said to Isaac, "Darling, the food really is rather awful. We've had so much of the same. Chicken and Frosties. Frosties and chicken. Chicken and Frosties. We're just bored of it. It's so boring. Can't we have anything nicer?" And they started complaining. "Actually, it's Moses' fault. He brought us here. We're not going to survive." And soon the whole family agreed that the food wasn't just good enough. So people started talking about the bad food at school. And then they were texting and sending emails and saying, "The food's rubbish." Before long, the whole camp had got upset about the food. And then they said, "Actually, it's not just Moses, it's God who sent us here, who's made the food rubbish." And there was national grumbling. It was Leah who spotted the snakes first. She saw one to begin with. In fact, she heard a hissing sound first. And then she looked up and saw snakes. And then she saw more snakes. Let's see if I've got my picture of snakes. Ooh, who likes snakes? You don't really. Okay, you like to look at them, but if they were that close. She ran home to tell her parents that she'd seen the snakes. Mum, there's snakes everywhere! And Mum didn't believe her. So she ran upstairs and said, "Ben, Jake, there's snakes everywhere!" But it was too late because the snakes had come in under the edge of the tent flap and started biting them. And it wasn't just them, it was everybody in the camp who started getting bitten. Like that. And they weren't just ordinary snakes, they were poisonous snakes like puff adders and vipers and spitting cobras and other things that when they bite you, you get a nasty bruise, and then you get a horrible pain, and then you start feeling feverish and sick, and you start sweating, and then you can't move, and you have to lie down. And before long, people were dying in the camp. In fact, everybody thought, before long, the whole nation is going to be wiped out. "Why's God done this?" said Mother Ruth to her husband. "We haven't done anything wrong. How dare he?" But as soon as she said it, Isaac knew exactly why God had sent the snakes. Of course they deserved it. They'd been complaining. They told God that he didn't know what he was doing. They'd whinged and whined and said, "Kentucky Fried Chicken and Frosties and Kentucky Fried Chicken and Frosties." They were bored and they whinged at the food. And they thought they could get away with it. So quickly, Isaac got together with some of the other dads. He went round to the other tents and got the dads together and said, "Let's go and see Moses." And they went to Moses. And they said to him the words that saved their lives. They said, "We have sinned. Please ask God to stop the punishment." What did they say all together? "We have sinned. Please ask God to stop the punishment." And so Moses went into his tent and he prayed for them. And some time later, he came out of the tent with wonderful, wonderful news. He announced that God had given them a special, simple solution. And they all looked around and wondered, "Antivenom for 2 million people? That'll be very expensive, and it hasn't been invented yet. It can't be that. What on earth has God given us?" And this is what he told them. He said, "God has told me to make a bronze snake and to stick it on a pole and to put it in the middle of the camp so anybody who looks at it will live." It doesn't look like much, does it? It's a snake on a pole. Moses must have scratched his head and thought, that's a bit odd, but I'll do what God says. So he made one and he stuck it on a pole and he told the dads, that's what I've done. Here it is. All you need to do is to go back and tell your families that they just need to look at it and they will live. They might be dying from snake bite. All they need to do is look at it and live. Well, what do you know? Leah, she's the youngest. She was only four, remember? She was the first, when Dad told her, to rush out of the tent and run down the avenue of tents to where she could see the pole. And she looked at it, and suddenly she started feeling better. The snake bite, which had been really swelling up her leg, suddenly disappeared. And she didn't have a headache anymore. And she felt better immediately. People around her were crying and laughing and hugging each other as they felt the poison being dealt with in their bodies. So she dashed back to the tent to tell her family. But to her surprise, everyone had different reasons and they didn't want to look at the snake. She said, Mum, go and look at the snake. I'm better. God made it work. And Mum said, well done you. You've done jolly well. I admire your courage. Thanks. Mum, go now, she said. Well, not just yet, dear, said her mum, shivering as she pulled up the blanket round her. I don't think I'm that bad, really. I'm not really, really sick. I'm fine. She clearly wasn't fine, and she rolled over on her bed and turned her back towards her daughter. Leah couldn't believe it, so she ran up and burst into Jake's room. Jake, God's rescue works. I looked at the bronze snake, and I'm better. Look. And Jake said, that's cool for you. Glad it works for you, but it's not for everybody. It is for everyone, said Leah. It'll work for you too. Yeah, maybe there's different ways of getting cured from snake poison. No, there's only one way, said Leah. God told Moses, this is the way. Go look at that snake. Well, that's a bit arrogant, said Jake. When you grow up and see a bit more of the world, you'll see lots of different cultures. Have I told you that story when I was in Africa? Said Jake. Yes, you've told me loads of times. Go look at the snake. Well, as long as I'm sincere, I'll be all right, said Jake. And he rushed off to the bathroom to be sick for the umpteenth time that day. And he didn't go and look at the snake either. So quickly, Leah rushed into Ben's room and was shocked at how bad he looked. He was all pale and his eyes were bloodshot and he was shivering. Ben, go and look at that snake. You'll get better. Look, I'm totally cool about it, said Ben. Don't be so stupid. Don't be so sad. Look at all the people who are going to look at that snake. They're so uncool. Nobody else at school is going to look at that snake. If I went, I'd be stared at by all my friends. And I don't want to go and look at that snake. Besides, why are you taking it so seriously? It's only a snake bite. And no one's proved it's actually a problem. And anyway, why is there so much suffering in the world? And what about all those people who've never heard of this bronze snake? And how do you know the snake isn't just a made-up story anyway? And hasn't science disproved the snake? Within 2 weeks, Ruth, Jake, and Ben were dead. Only their dad, Isaac, and the daughter, Leah, were still alive. They survived because they looked at the snake that Moses had put on the pole. All they did was look at it. Doesn't sound hard, does it? But lots of people didn't. And lots of people died. You know, that's the story is based on real life. And I'm going to read it to you from the Bible now. If you want to find it, grown-ups, it's Numbers 21. Listen carefully. It's a real story that really happened. And then I'm going to tell you one or two more things about it. Numbers 21. Stay right where you are and I'll read it. Numbers 21, verses 4 to 9. See if you can see which of the characters in the story. Numbers 21, verse 4. Are you ready? It's page 111. They travelled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go round Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die? There's no bread. There's no water. And we hate this miserable frosties food. It says food. And then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them, and they bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that God will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for his people. And then the Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and he put it up on a pole. And then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. He didn't die. Can you see the people sinned against God by grumbling and moaning? That was in the story, wasn't it? And after the people said, sorry, please forgive us, God gave them a very simple rescue and he offered an open invitation. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. It's actually a story about us. Did you know that? It's a story about you and you and you and everybody in this room. Because we are all poisoned by sin. Did you know that? You haven't been bitten by a snake, but you've got poison in your veins, and that poison is making you do things that God hates. He doesn't like it when you say, I don't want to go to church, and I don't want to believe in Jesus, and I want to live my life my own way. He doesn't like that. And he doesn't like it when we do things that he hates either, like stealing, or lying, or cheating, or disobeying your parents. All of those things God says is sin, and that's poison, and it's in your veins, and if you don't do something about it, it'll kill you. We are all poisoned by sin. But God has provided a rescue. For them, it was a snake on a pole. There's a picture of a snake on a pole. Here's my snake on a pole. What is it for us? What is the rescue that God's made for us? Think about it. What has God lifted up and stuck on a big wooden beam for us to look at and live? Theater. He has. He has lifted up Jesus and said, all you have to do is trust in Jesus and the poison will be dealt with. Listen to what Jesus said. This is in John chapter 3, verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Do you see? Just as God told Moses to lift up the snake so those dying of snake bite could look up and live, so he's lifted up his own son. And Jesus told the Moses and snake story to explain what he'd come into the world to do. He didn't come to be a doctor. Jesus didn't come to be a doctor. He didn't come to be a healer. He didn't come to be a teacher. He didn't even come to be a politician. He came for one reason. He came to die on a cross like that picture up there. Can you see it? There is Jesus, dead on a cross. And when he died on a cross, he was taking the punishment that we all deserve for the bad things we've done, so that we could look at him in our minds, think about him, and be forgiven. That's the message of Christianity. Isn't it brilliant? Now, God's done a third thing. He said, I'm going to give you a personal invitation. We've been poisoned by sin. He's provided a rescue. And he's given us a personal invitation. God said to Moses that anybody who lives. Do you think if Jake and Ben had just stuck their head out of the tent and looked round, that's all they needed to do? Would they have lived? Yes. What about that person who's been really naughty and was a bully at school and stole from his parents and would have been bitten by a snake and was going to die? If he looked out of the tent and saw the snake, would he have lived? Yes. This invitation is for anybody. He can take away our sin. Jesus died for you and you'll be forgiven if you turn to him. So I've got something else here. Some of you have seen some of these. Let's see if I can find it here. Who's seen one of these? What is it? A funky funhouse invitation. I know whose party this is. And it's an invitation that says to Ollie. So it's Ollie's invitation. He's got an invitation just for him. And it's lovely, and it sticks up on our kitchen wall, and we can look at it and go, I've been invited. But if Ollie didn't go, would the invitation be any good to him? No. Well, it's just like that. Jesus has been lifted up, and the invitation is for anybody to look at him and then go to heaven. Moses lifted up the snake, and the invitation was for anybody to look at it to be saved. This invitation's for Ollie, and all he has to do is go, and he'll have the party. But lots of people didn't look at the snake. Lots of people don't believe in Jesus, and lots of people, well, I think not very many people would turn down an invitation to Funky Funhouse because it's so good. Jesus is even better. Jesus is even better. It's not enough for us to know about Jesus. It's not enough for us to say, oh, I've been invited and isn't Jesus amazing? We've got to say, yes, please, I believe in you. Okay, here's a question. Who knows which village Jesus was born in? Have a think. I want you all, if you can remember, to put your hands up. Who knows what village Jesus was born in? We remember it at Christmas, don't we? Does anybody in the back know? Rachel, do you know? Bethlehem. Well done. You're good at answering Bible questions. But that's not going to get you to heaven. Lots of people can answer Bible questions, but they never believe in Jesus. They never say this: I have sinned, please forgive me. We're all poisoned by sin. God's provided a perfect rescue. We've got a personal invitation. Let's all finish by reading some words. Okay, I'm going to put them on the screen. These are the words Jesus said when he was talking about the Moses and the snake story. I'll read them first, and then you can, if you can remember them, read them with me. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Okay, so let's say it together. Just as Moses was the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And whenever you see a snake, can I have those snakes? Can I have them, Peter? Can I have the snake, please? Where's the other one? The big one. Can I have them both? Whenever you see a snake or a picture of a snake, why don't you remember this story and tell it to your mum and dad? And say, remember that story we heard in church? Whenever Moses made a bronze snake and lifted it up, people could look at it and live. And then remember what it was all pointing to. Jesus lifted up on a cross so that we could trust in him and be Christians. Do you think becoming a Christian's hard? All we have to say is, well, I have sinned, please forgive me. And then we can start living the Christian life. It's great, isn't it? You'd have thought that was hard, but it's not. Let me pray. Thank you that becoming a Christian is easy. It's as easy as looking out of our tents at that snake on the pole. It's just a matter of trusting that Jesus died for us. Heavenly Father, we have sinned. Please forgive us and help us to live for you. Amen. Okay, you can all go back and sit in your seat.